Mercy and justice are the two important qualities of God that we often struggle within ourselves. We do not know how to be both merciful and just, especially when we see things that go wrong. So many times working at a military chaplain, I have a lot of people who do not have faith or any religion or any spiritual background at all keep asking, how can God exist if there's evil in the world? As human beings, we look at evil and we say, if God allowed evil to happen, then how can he be a loving God? This is where mercy and justice comes in, my brothers and sisters. And God does both of that. That he allows the wheat and the weed to grow together. And he is so merciful, just like the first reading from the books of wisdom tells us, that he judges us with clemency and with leniency he governs us. And he permits the time so that people can seek repentance for their sins and allow good ground for hope. There is no God besides you, the Book of Wisdom said, who have the care of all. We live in this creative tension time. We live in an imperfect world. We live in an unjust society. And that's the reality. It has always been this way since the beginning of our first day after the fall. The first sin that the children of Adam and Eve committed, Cain and Abel, with the sins of fratricide, killing one own's blood, one own's kin. And from there, we see that society throughout salvation history continue to be imperfect, to reject God, and to hurt one another. Division always happened. Evil continued to happen. But God is able to bring goodness out of evil and bring people back to him. God is not in the business of making everything right and perfect. God is present to help us to endure all things in this world with hope, with love, with forgiveness, with kindness, with truth, with justice, with all of the qualities that he possesses, to the power and working of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Father and the Son being sent out upon us to make us more Christ-like each day. Just like what the second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans said. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself helps us. When we pray, my brothers and sisters, sometimes it's easy for us to come to God when everything else fails, and we want him to be the solution, or we want him to fix and make things right. But then at the end of the day, are we able to stay with God in the hurt or not? Are we able to allow ourselves to be more Christ-like each day or not? Or do we want things our way, our control, our demand, our expectation, our way? God is able to allow both the good and the bad to live with one another. The wheat to grow among the weeds that comes in. So that he wait until the harvest time. Do we have enough patience to wait until the final harvest? Or do we want things to be removed right away? This is a hard question that we need each and every one of us to ask for ourselves. I'll be the first one to raise up my hand, my brothers and sisters, and say, it sucks. It hurts. I don't want it. My brothers and sisters, I have had many occasions where people have hurt me deeply. people in the church, people who are in leadership positions, people that I trusted and loved. Every time it hurts so much. There were sleepless nights. There were nights that it hurts so much that I cannot put myself to rest. And there were occasions I understand now what it means to live through PTSDs. So that there was a time when I received a phone call from the person who was hurting me so much, that I begin to have tunnel vision. Things get dark and my hands would shake. And every time that trigger comes in, I felt like I was lost and out of control. But yet, I do have control. But not control according to the eyes of this world, my brothers and sisters. But find the control that is found in peace in Christ Jesus, to the power and working of the Holy Spirit. The control to let go, to stay with God in the storm. And they said, Lord, help me. How to make the decision that is both prudential, with mercy, with justice. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit, the truth, to intercede, to guide, to sanctify us deep from within, especially at moments when it hurts. When you and I come to prayers, our prayer times, my brothers and sisters, do we pray that our will be done, or do we pray that His will be done? How do we pray each day? Do we have a laundry list of what we want, and then we begin to give up when we do not get what we want? How do we pray? That's my first question for you today. How do we pray? Second, how do we pray when things fall apart? When it hurts, when things don't make sense? A few weeks ago, my assistant and I were talking about imperfections as well as purgatory. God allowed purgatory to happen. And purgatory, according to our Catholic theology, is not something after this world. Purgatory begins now, where God purchased our heart deep from within, to shed away our imperfection, our own ego, our own self, to reform us with the fire of love, to become more Christ-like each day. My brothers and sisters, the saints lived their own purgatory here on earth. They didn't wait for things to end at the end of their life. Contrary to many people's belief, the saints didn't born perfect or didn't go through life all with holiness and with love and with perfections. They struggled to seek God, especially when they were falsely accused, condemned, and hurt by others. But they chose Christ first and foremost, and those were the purgative time for them. It forced them to die to themselves and to choose to love like Christ, to love even in the midst of evil, even in the midst of wrongdoings, even when things fell apart. The saints taught us that God had to be loved first and foremost. And that is purgative. That is purging of ourselves, of our control, of our want, of our desires, even when it hurts. The saint taught us that. And we're called to begin purgatory now, my brothers and sisters, by dying to ourselves, by choosing to conform ourselves to Christ so that we can seek Him first and foremost. Imagine purgatory different than hell, because hell is burned with the fire of hatred, of love, of selfishness. Huh? Purgatory is burned with the fire of love. I have a ring that I wear that had been given to me by my first confirmation class that I taught. And through my bad habit, I knock on it all the time. It's now out of shape. And from time to time, I would have to go to a jewelry store and ask the master in there to reform it, because it's out of shape. And then he or she would also polish it off too. Those were the purging periods. Imagine if I'm using this image and analogy for my own ring. Imagine our soul. There will be times when we have to be put under fire so that we can shed away all the iniquities, all the impurities, all the things that do not belong to God, so that we can be reformed by God and repolished again. And there will be times in this life where we have to do it over and over and over again. And each time it hurts, because it's like being put into fire. It hurts. But at the end of the day, we are being reformed by how we choose to conform to Christ Jesus, by how he chose to love, how he chose to be lenient, merciful, kind, forgiving toward those who have done him wrong. But I'll end my homily with this. Do not ever, ever play with God's mercy, because he is also just. He does give us many opportunities to return back to him, but do not ever play and abuse his mercy. Return, repent, change our life now, just like all the readings tells us, to the power and working of the Holy Spirit, unless we run out of time. Return to him now, repent now, convert now, because we do not know when the Son of Man will come, when our last day is here, when we have to stand before the just. Repent now, so that his mercy changes us from within.